Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
You have year-end goals. Constant Contact has what it takes to help you meet them faster. Sell more, raise more, and build real relationships with your audience with Constant Contact's digital marketing tools, all made to fast-track your success. Put the go in your 2024 goals with email, social, SMS, and customized marketing campaigns built for you in just a few clicks. Ready, set, go to ConstantContact.com and start your free trial today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Wednesday afternoon, you know who you haven't sat down with for a while and visited with? Our friend Alex Rich from Y98, who is with us in the studio. He's graced us with his presence.
And what a song. Is this one's for me, I guess. I'm not here to come out.
I don't know. Do you have news? I thought you were getting married to a woman, but it's nothing. I'm here to hang out with the Mark Reardon show. I just want a little Diana Ross to come back in here. We were talking about this last week. Were you here last week, or maybe we were just doing this off the air? But you're going to go to Guns N' Hoses, right?
I'm going to Guns N' Hoses. Steve Butts invited me out, and I'm going to. This is actually, I'm embarrassed to say, my first Guns N' Hoses.
Well, so he had sent. That's right. He had sent us both a text, invited us both. I have my kids in town next week. I just can't get away. But you were going to go. But I want to mention that we're broadcasting it here. Fox has the broadcast. We're going to air it here on 97.1 FM Talk next Wednesday night. Firefighters and police officers battling it out in the ring. Our coverage is sponsored by Golden Oak Lending and T.R. Hughes. And Alex, I have some tickets to give away this week. So if you're calling number 3, we'll make it easy on John here, who's going to answer the call. 314-241-9797. We have a pair of tickets for you to go see Guns N' Hoses at Enterprise Center next week. And it is going to be a sellout.
I'm excited. Who do we have our money on? Do we place bets? Do we think the firefighters, the police?
I'd like to check. I have an interest in this. I mean, I'm guessing with technology. I should have asked Greg Brown this yesterday, the chief of Eureka. Did they have a good website that has all the matchups and handicaps? But I do want to mention Chief Brown, because he came in here yesterday and they brought some Sarah's Bakery items. Sarah's is a restaurant in downtown Eureka. And
delicious.
Sue does not eat sugar. I love it when this happens.
I eat Sue share the sugar. Well, it's hard to say.
Thank you for that, Fred.
Yeah. But I didn't mention it last night. I wanted to. And then I got home last night because I took quite a bit of it home for my daughter and I. My wife was out of town. We ate most of it last night. But Sarah's is a little local-owned business in downtown Eureka that's been around since 2003. It's like 10 minutes away from my home. I've literally put a reminder on my calendar for next week, since I'm off, to go to Sarah's and have breakfast or something like that. But thank you so much, Chief Brown and Sarah's, because they had macarons and it was all like cakes.
Oh my god,
was it good? It was
so little brownie good. Things were really good.
Yeah,
we need to check what's going on in the Reardon household, because I ran into Becky and Alexa the other day.
Yeah, you were wicked.
Well, and Alexa, Becky says, "Hey, ask Alexa what she had for dinner tonight," and I said, "Alexa, what'd you have for dinner?" She said, "A tub of ice cream."
Oh, geez.
Which is probably true, unfortunately.
That was her response, Mark.
Yeah. Well, it was lunch, because we were coming back. She was at deer camp with me in Howard County. And then sometimes I give up as a parent. I don't know if you do this, but I just cave in, because we get to the convenience store. Like, we're making one last stop before we get into St. Louis. And she's like, "Can I get a snack?" I'm like, "Wait, we have snacks in the car that we brought for you. But can I get a snack?" I'm like, "Whatever." So she brings this little... I don't know if it was Ben and Jerry's or something like that. It was like Hershey's brand ice cream, like a little pint or whatever. And that's what she had for lunch.
Well, she
I polished off the rest of it last night. I'm going to tell you that, because I had it with the Sarah's.
She did also poke fun at you, because, I said, "Where's Mark?" I said, "Why are you here, not Mark?" And she said, "Well, Alexa already got a deer this year. Mark hasn't, so Mark's kind of pissed off.
Well, I was a little bummed out. I was also tired. Yeah, I was a
all
little bummed out.
All of this is accurate.
It is accurate.
I'm just giving the people what they need to know.
The mindset was this. I was very excited about seeing the movie. I really was. But then I didn't notice that it was 2 hours and 40 minutes, and I didn't get a lot of sleep over the weekend. I'm the victim here. I just want you to know that.
As usual.
And I was also looking at an opportunity to maybe sit on the couch during a Chiefs football game.
That sounds right.
And cede my responsibilities with my daughter to my wife.
Sure.
And here's what I'll say, though.
After feeding her ice cream.
Exactly. Yes. After being a bad parent.
Right. Yes.
They came home, and Becky said, and I've done this with movies before, like the one movie that I remember first having this reaction to is Braveheart many years ago. I'm like, that movie blew me away. And that was a three-hour movie.
Yeah.
It blew me away so much, I was ready to see it again, and I did. I saw it 3 days after I saw it for the first time because I loved it so much. She said she could have seen Wicked right away.
It blows you away. It really does. I mean, I'm a fan of Wicked to begin with. Even I think for the people that have never seen Wicked or just people that appreciate good music. And what I will say is it takes the actual play and slows it down so that it's even easier to understand, which makes you obviously enjoy it that much more. But it's the way that they portray everything. The music's great. There's a couple of times throughout where you do get the chills.
So
just
let me back up a little bit, because we always kind of assume people know what this is. And I'm at deer camp with my friend and my hunting mentor, Kevin Yeager. And I say, hey, I'm going to have to ditch out early on Sunday. And, you know, Mark's good at this as well, but you know that's when you do all the work and you clean the deer and you, you know.
Man.
So I'm really good at getting out of this anyway. I said we got to go see. You know, Lex and I have a screening of Wicked. He goes, "What's Wicked?" I'm like, "Okay, it's a play." His wife had seen it on Broadway, but I had to explain it to him. It's kind of a retelling of the Wizard of Oz story. Let's say it's a bit of a Wizard of Oz origin story from a unique perspective. And I always describe this as someone who's comfortable with seeing, as a man who is comfortable with seeing, you know, musicals as the musical that people don't think they like musicals would like, because it's so clever and it's so funny. Now, I would admit that more women probably would like it compared to men.
Sure.
But Sue, you've never seen it. I'm surprised.
Great. It really is great. I would say it's my favorite. It's absolutely my favorite musical of all time. And of course, our good friend, Steve Butts.
Well, Norbert, his brother, was in the original cast, right?
Yeah, that's cool.
So, you know, I will say this guy was not better than the original Fiero, but he was good.
Yeah, well, and Norbert got to see it a couple of weeks ago, and I know he was a big fan. Let's do this here this afternoon.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
You know, Sue, I'm having Wiggins whip up a, you know how we have these little things like your intro there, and we have this is one of my favorites here. You ready for this one?
It's time for Insect News.
So I'm trying to do one for Doge. Don't you think we need one for Doge?
Oh, I see what
you mean. Like an update on the Department of Governmental Efficiency. So that's in the works right now. But there's nothing that's going to ever be better than the Sue's News intro. I'm just saying that.
Well, you're probably right about that. Good news at my house. The new washing machine has arrived. Thank you.
All right.
I can fill it all the way up to the top if I want. I've done four loads of laundry like a crazy person, and it's awesome.
Can you review the particulars for Alex in the audience that might have missed the discussion on the washing machine yesterday?
Alex, I hate my washing machine. I had purchased the lowest, cheapest version, and it just gave up the ghost. But it was still actually functioning, but it wasn't actually washing anything. But I kept putting it off, and finally I broke down. And we got a new washer today. But I had to look high and low to not get one that is water efficient.
Yeah. Sue hates the environment, Alex. That's basically what she's telling me.
I don't hate the environment, but I want clean clothes. So
Sue's got a beef.
I've got a beef. It won't fill up high enough, and then the lid locks, and you can't look in and add something. It makes me crazy.
I mean, maybe I'm, you know, kind of dumb to this, but I mean, wouldn't most people now have water efficient?
Yes,
more efficient.
They would.
You would think.
But there's the resistance, and that's Sue.
That's me. I'm
she
the
represents
somebody's
got
to do it. I guess.
Yes.
Right.
Someone has to do.
She's taking a stand.
I'm
Alex,
not in
I'm,
California.
I'm proud of her.
I'm in Missouri. Thank you.
Well, we can waste as much water in anything else that we want to.
I don't want to waste it.
I don't think I've seen a whiter sweater in my life, Sue.
Thank you.
That's the whitest sweater I've ever seen. There's not a mark on it.
The thing is, It's just old school, not new school, but it does operate really super efficiently. Okay, my point.
She's also drying the clothes in the backyard.
Yeah, oh, well, yeah. Sure. That thing's
blow on it
that
for
thing's,
a while.
It still probably jumps, doesn't it? One of those jumpers.
Oh, probably. Yeah, definitely.
It's definitely
jumps.
A jumper.
It definitely jumps.
They figured it out. No jumping, but old school water.
Do you think your neighbors have noticed a decrease in their water supply?
You guys, it's so totally efficient. It just fills to the top. It's not a hog. It just fills man. To the top. All right, on this day in history, 15 years ago, The Blind Side was released with Sandra Bullock, Tim McGraw, Quentin Aaron, and Phil Collins' daughter, Lily Collins. It just seems like it was longer ago than 15 years to me.
You think
but
longer?
Maybe not.
It
yeah.
seems longer? I feel like uh-huh. it seems more, a little more recent than that, yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe and, not. Maybe I'm getting...
It seems about right to me.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm gonna
right.
land right in the middle. I did like that movie quite a bit. You know, look, it was kind of one of those touchy-feely sports movies, but Sandra Bullock knocked it out of the park. And then there was weird stuff, of course, that happened a few years ago in the aftermath of that because that poor kid was convinced that those people who adopted him, you know, were not doing things in his interest, which was a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
But it was a great story. It was Hollywoodized, of course, but still a great story.
It was.
I think everything seems like 15 years ago to me.
Well,
if it happened 2 years ago, it seems like it was 15. If it happened 40 years ago, that was 15 years ago.
I understand. I totally get that. Katie Taylor, Amanda Serrano boxing match, the one that
girls.
You loved,
yes,
brought in 74 million viewers, and that makes it the most watched professional women's sporting event in U.S. history. Now, of course, it was right before Tyson and Paul, and that's probably why.
Yes.
But once they got the numbers, they made that official.
Wow, more than like a women's national soccer tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's kind of amazing.
It is.
And again, it was, I didn't see the whole undercard, but that was the fight of the night.
It was
the fight of the night, for sure.
Netflix, of course, is now being sued by a man who says the buffering issues during the Tyson-Jake Paul fight were legendary. A Florida man named Ronald Blue Denton is suing for breach of contract and other offenses and seeking unspecified damages. Here's the thing.
Well, they're going to make it a class
action. With him, and it's going to drive me nuts. No, but
I think it's going to be a class action suit, and then everyone who subscribes to Netflix will have the ability to get a refund of
5 cents.
Yeah, something like that.
Netflix, by the way, says 108 million people watched that fight. It's very interesting.
I think 107 million were on X complaining about the lack of coverage.
Well, you probably talked about it, but didn't they just say they're going to do a couple of football games? Or?
Yeah, on Christmas Day.
Yeah. Two.
Yeah.
One is the Steelers.
Hopefully they don't have the same issue.
I hope not.
Well, we're going to hope that they learn from their mistake, but... I don't know if I can do this on the radio. I'm going to try. Well, I don't think I'm going to get in trouble here, but Dave Klein sent me a meme on Friday night, and it was Tyson. Again, I got to do this on the radio.
Sure.
But anyone, Elf, Netflix, freezing up. That was pretty good.
That's awful. Awful, but
funny,
accurate.
Though.
Yes. Okay, this has music. Morgan Wallen's song, Lies, 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 is now number one on the Hot Country chart, which is his fifth number one this year, and that sets a record for the most ever in a calendar year. He broke the record held by Garth.
I don't come down with the sun. I won't hate myself when the morning comes.
I am a big Morgan Wallen fan. I really like him a lot.
Is that set the record for just country or music overall?
Hot country.
Okay.
And the previous record was four number ones in a year. That was held by Garth and Luke Combs and Morgan. He had four number ones last year. But this is his first solo number one this year. The previous four were all, you know, collaborations.
I'm right now on my music service, which is Tidal, and I'm adding this to one of my playlists because I was unfamiliar with this song.
Well, there
and
you
I
go.
Like it quite a bit already, so that's good.
All right.
He's got another one out there that's called Love Somebody, guys, that's new. But there you go. It's Lies, Lies, Lies.
My eyes, 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 I'm still a fool for you.
I would put, Alex, I don't know if you agree with this, but the double album that came out a couple years ago, it's called Dangerous, the double album, I think, was just fantastic. Every song was good.
Been on a roll.
Yep, absolutely.
We talked a little bit about this yesterday. Alec Baldwin's movie Rust finally had will have its world premiere in Poland today.
I think it did already, yeah.
Yeah, it would have, right? 6 hours ahead.
Yep.
Helena Hutchins' mother refused to attend, and she says it's Alec Baldwin's fault. She said, Alec continues to increase my pain with his refusal to apologize to me and his refusal to take responsibility for her death. Instead, he seeks to unjustly profit from his killing of my daughter.
I don't know about the unjustly profit part, and maybe there is something to that. And I know that people hate Alec Baldwin, and I get it for the politics, but I have a hard time pinning the responsibility for this on him. Take Alec Baldwin out of the mix. Who do we like better than Alec Baldwin? Name an actor.
Anybody.
Right, same circumstance. Right. Same circumstances. Let's say it's Steve Carell. I don't know.
Right,
I just pulled that
Steve
one out
Carell.
Of my ass.
But
right?
Here's the thing, Mark. You're right, though. Finish
But I mean, I don't think people would feel like that guy has to be held responsible when the armorer clearly was reckless. Hannah Gutierrez Reed, who was convicted. There were other issues on set. So the actor who's used to doing this, and, you know, I get that he said I didn't pull the trigger. I'm confused about some of that. But how would you ever expect a live bullet to be in a prop?
I get that. Mm-hmm. But I think what she's saying is she'd like to hear from him and say, I'm really sorry this happened.
And that's reasonable.
And I think that's perfectly reasonable.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's the one of those situations where a lawyer, an agent, they're all you can't give one inch because if you do that, this happens.
Yep,
so sometimes that gets managed.
Yeah, that's probably true. But I felt bad reading about that.
But there was a nice tribute by one of Helena's friends in Poland at the screening. I know it took place because I saw the video on X a short time ago. So they, people may actually be seeing the movie as we speak because they intro'd it a while ago.
It blew up the internet, people trying to get tickets. And that's what she's also, I mean, that's just a terrible situation. Finally, in Sue's news, we have today's random fact. Huh, okay. Planters Peanuts was founded in 1906, but the Mr. Peanut mascot didn't come along until 1916 when a 14-year-old schoolboy named Antonio Gentile submitted a drawing to a trademark contest. He got $5 for a prize for his winning sketch, which doesn't sound like much, which is about $150 in today's money. So the founder of Planters also paid for Antonio and his four siblings to go to college.
Well, that's
good. Because he felt like he had to do something.
He deserved that more, because here's why. And I think people listening had the same experiences as maybe we did in the studio. You said Planters Peanut. Instantaneously, my brain went to an image of Mr. Peanut.
Yes.
Instantaneously.
Yes. Yep. And that's it for Sue's News.
That's a good one.
It's a
I like
fact.
That, Sue. Hey, Alex, on 198, did you guys talk about this this mom who was arrested with the 10-year-old kid in Georgia?
I don't think we did
yet. You guys are way behind on stories. That's what I figured. But we're going to talk about that next right here. All right, I was going to talk about this yesterday, and we ran out of time. And Alex, I kind of saved it for you. Alex Rich from 198 joins us on Wednesdays from time to time. It's been a few weeks, though.
It's been a few weeks.
We've had
I think we took kind of a presidential election
we did.
Off.
Yeah. Well, those 3 weeks, that's right, Fred. Those 3 weeks, and you were doing a little traveling.
I was doing
a bit
of traveling.
Leading
here.
Up to the election, we were focusing on that. But this is a great topic, and I have some very strong feelings on it. And I'm going to give you some details after I play you the audio here from a television report, because there are some more details that may or may not make a difference in the way that you judge this story. But it's about a mom in Georgia. Her son is now 11, but at the time, just a few weeks ago, was 10 years old. And here's what they said down. Let me see where this is. Fred, do you remember where this was?
It was in Georgia.
No,
sure
I know Georgia.
City.
I didn't know what. Let's see here if I have a dateline Georgia. Not that it really matters. Brittany Patterson. Let's find out here. Here's the TV story.
This morning, the shocking arrest of a Georgia mother after her 10-year-old son walked to the store by himself.
What am I under arrest for?
For reckless endangerment.
You can see the moment right here on police body camera. Brittany Patterson put into handcuffs by sheriff's deputies at the end of October in rural Mineral Bluff, Georgia.
I didn't really even know what I was being arrested for. I had to ask.
According to a Fannin County Sheriff's Office report, her son, Soren, who has since turned 11, walked less than a mile into town to go to the Dollar General while Patterson took one of her children to the doctor. Authorities discovered him walking alone after getting a call from a concerned resident. Officials then dropped him off at home, according to the report.
He knows how to get home. He knows how to get there. So, again, I wasn't concerned for his safety.
But 5 hours later, Patterson was arrested on suspicion of reckless conduct, which carries up to a year in jail.
And last time I checked, it wasn't illegal for a kid to walk to the store.
It is when they're 10 years old.
Oh, well, I did not know that. Okay. So let me give you a little bit more here, just so you know. Brittany Patterson is the mom, and she was taking her son, who is a little older, to a doctor's appointment around noon the day before Halloween. This is October 30th. Soren, who is the younger son, was told he could either join them or stay home. She says she waited in the car for a few minutes, then went inside, called his name. When he didn't come, she figured he was playing Xbox or running around outside on the family's 16-acre property. And then she takes off. She runs the errand with his brothers. So she says in an interview that she gave with Newsweek, I just seen him a couple of minutes earlier. So he wasn't, you know, missing from her perspective. Sure. She wasn't concerned. So then she goes to the doctor's appointment. She gets a call from the Fannin County Sheriff's Office asking if she knew that Soren had walked to Mineral Bluff. That's a town of about 370 people. It's less than a mile from her property. He wanted to go to the Dollar General store. And again, as the TV report indicated, there was a citizen that saw him, a concerned citizen, if you will, saw him on the road and called the police. So she says when they call her, she says, I wasn't panicking. I wasn't hysterical because it's not that far from our house. I know the area. He knows the area. It wasn't a question in my mind whether he was capable of walking to Mineral Bluff and walking back. So they take the kid home. They speak with his grandfather. The grandfather lives with the family. He was at home when this happened. When mom gets home 15 minutes later, she tells her son to ask before leaving the property while she's gone. They go throughout the day thinking that that's it, right? Hours later, about 5 hours later, the cops come again. She's on a business call. She thinks it was a routine check-in. As soon as I asked for a moment, they immediately asked me to step outside. They handcuff her as her kids were there. And then, you know, you probably heard in the report, this is what it sounded like.
Turn around for me.
Why?
Because you're under arrest.
For what?
For the incident we talked about earlier today.
What am I under arrest for?
For reckless endangerment.
And how was I recklessly endangering my child?
We're not talking about it.
Okay. Now, the warrant says, and I'll stop and then we'll get some opinions here. The warrant says that the mother knowingly left the residence while her son was missing and did not report it to law enforcement, which constitutes what they say is a, quote, gross deviation from the standard of care a reasonable person would exercise. Well, that's just ridiculous given the facts that we know.
Yes.
But here's what I always say as a caveat. I don't know if there's something else that could pop up in this and make me believe that, okay, maybe this is in some way, shape, or form warranted. Because at this point, knowing what I do, there's no way the cops should have showed up here and arrested her or anything along those lines. Now, you know, we're all in a very different era. And I was thinking about this last night. And Fred, we're all of an age. Yeah. And Alex, you're in a little bit of a different generation. But here's what I remember from when I was, and I know I had to be under 8 years old because I moved. If you're in second grade, how old are you? Probably
6, 7, 8.
Yeah. So we moved when I was in second grade to third grade the summer, as I remember it. So I started at a different school. But I remember in this one neighborhood in Park Ridge, Illinois, which was the suburb that I lived in, you know, mom would send you out. I'd ride my bike.
Yeah.
I would ride my bike into downtown Park Ridge. I was 8 years old. Right.
Yep.
Now, I was probably going close to a mile away. My school was a mile away, and sometimes I had to walk to my school.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't quite a mile, but still. So we allowed kids to do things. Now, when I was 9 or 10, I guarantee you I was going away from my house more than a mile. And that was never an issue. But then we got all weird about childhood abductions, which really are rare. They're still very rare, but they became publicized, right? In the 80s,
right.
You had kids that were missing, and then what's his name, whose daughter was tragically taken. They did the TV show. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, guy's name.
So to me, not knowing, if I know these facts as presented, I don't have an issue with this, and I think it's outrageous that this woman was arrested. Team, weigh in. Sue.
I would agree with you. I mean, but of course, we are from the same era, and I remember being that age, 8 to 10, even below that, and walking to Tilkey's, which was a place down the street where you could get, you know, candy or whatever. And you were supposed to have somebody with you, but you're also a kid. So you would do that every now and then, but would that be arrest-worthy? No.
No.
And this poor kid now thinks that he's done this to his mother.
Right.
I mean, that is a mess.
I don't think it's arrest-worthy at all. But I wonder, Mark, what would you do with Alexa?
See, that's a good question. We talked about it. I told Alexa about this story last night, and it's a little unfair to break it down that way only because this is what I said to her. We live, and Alex and Fred, you've both been to my house. We live in a neighborhood where you just can't walk, you know, to
it's
a store.
Not, yes.
It's not safe.
Yeah.
We live down Hillsborough Road, which is what we call it twisty turning. So there's no safe way for her as almost a 10-year-old to do something like that. However, Fred, one thing that we've, you know, dabbled with at this point, well, this might get me reported to DCFS, so I'm going to be careful here, but she is almost 10 years old. There are occasions where I'm going to run up and get a bag of ice, or I'm going to go to Schnucks in High Ridge. It's literally 7 minutes away from my house. And I've asked my daughter, you want to stay home alone? She has not felt comfortable with that. So I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. So this is her level of comfortability. I'm not going to force that on her. When she does feel ready, then we'll get into that, and we'll, you know, you take further steps. So I don't know if we're missing something from this particular incident or not.
I would agree with all of you in the sense that, like, yeah, it's definitely not arrest worthy. Does it say at all? Was this like a? I guess the only issue I would have is if it's like a main road and there's not a sidewalk.
Yeah, I don't know about
like,
that.
There's
a
high traffic situation. Like, there's just a lot of variables in that regard. But it sounds like it was a small town.
It does. Yeah. It was rural. What was it called? Mineral Bluffs.
Well, that was the one that they walked to. But here's the other thing about this. This is interesting. And this is from the Newsweek story. On Halloween, that's the next day. So the cops come. This goes through a process, right? You have workers from the Division of Family and Children Services, DFCS, in Georgia that arrive at the home to do a safety check. Patterson, the mom, says the caseworker interviewed the kids, her father, you know, because he lived there, some other family members, before saying everything looked good, and they, you know, complimented the home. The case manager then followed up on Tuesday asking if they could go over a safety plan together.
Oh, come on.
No state government. Stay the F out of my life is what I'd say. Are you kidding me? Now, look, they have these rules because you have terrible abuses that happen of children in some families, and it's awful. So you have to have rules. You have to have the framework to punish people and to have a process for keeping kids safe. But this is well beyond that. These are busybody cops. I'd like to know if the cops made this decision on their own, or were they told to go arrest this mother?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I can think of the times when I was a kid and we were out playing within the neighborhood. Parents did not know really where you were. And they would run to the store and come back. Today, that's arrestable because they didn't know where we were and they're leaving us alone.
Right. I'd be riding my bike around the neighborhood and hours at a time. And this was before, like, I guess, yeah, there's no cell. There wasn't cell phones or a way to contact people. But
Fred, to your point, in none of the reporting that I've seen so far, does it accurately or even attempt to accurately describe the road in whether or not, you know, because if you're driving on a road, maybe it's a 2-lane road, it's a rural area, and you see a kid just walking on the side of the road, you're like, oh, yeah, maybe that would be a little bit of an alert to you where you'd say, maybe we should call the cops, because I can actually see someone calling the cops. Yeah. I don't take issue with that because they may have thought something was out of the ordinary.
Plus, they live on a property that's 16 acres. That's huge.
Yeah, that's
huge.
That's a lot of area to roam around on your own.
Yeah, exactly. He could walk a mile on his property.
Yeah,
exactly.
Then that's the difference? So that'd be okay?
I'm going to say, look, we're going to track this one, and I'm going to say there's something missing from this equation that I'm unaware of, but we will see. Hey, guess what? Jaguar has gone woke in not a very good way today. They've gone the Bud Light route. Some of us are a little bit more concerned than others. I'm going to explain that story. It's breaking right now, coming up next. You know who completely called the election and the sweep of the swing states? TJ Moe. He's totally nailed it the day before the election, and we have not had him on since. We had Zig on last night. Zig was on the same night, Fred, as TJ, and it was like a tale of two predictions. And Zig was wrong, and TJ was right. But we're going to talk to him about a bunch of different issues here in just a little bit. Mark Gelman with the Gelman team on some new mortgage rate issues that have popped up. We'll get to that, plus an audio cut of the day. Now, Fred and Sue and Alex Rich is here from Y98. You may not have even realized this, but I've never said on the air what kind of car I have. Do you even realize that I've done that?
Oh, I know.
And I have. Do you know why I don't do that?
Yeah.
Because it's kind of pretentious, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not kind of.
It's pretentious.
Yes.
But I'm self-aware because I know that I have a pretentious car.
Right.
Right? Okay.
Right.
And I don't mention it. So I get a message from my friend today, one of my friends, that says, hey, are you selling? I have a Jaguar F-Pace. Okay. And I'm forced now to say this because of a story that's developing today that's very interesting. He said, my friend Kevin's like, hey, are you selling your Jag? I'm like, no, not that I'm aware of. And then he sends me the story. And there has been a rebrand of Jaguar that is lighting up the interwebs and the ex formerly Twitter today. And I had missed this, but there's a promotional video for, this is what Yahoo Finance says, a promotional video for a rebrand of British luxury car brand Jaguar. I have to say it, Jaguar, because we don't say Jaguar. Those of us who are Jaguar, we say Jaguar, right? I'm kidding.
This is getting worse.
Is being criticized online for showing models in brightly colored outfits and no car. The rebrand, which includes a new logo, is slated to launch December 2nd during the Miami Art Week, when the company will unveil its new electric GT model. But it says Jaguar Land Rover, a unit of India's Tata Motors, has been promoting it online. So this is part of a rebrand to go to all electric, because a lot of companies are doing that. And they say, copy nothing. We're here to delete the ordinary, to go bold, to copy nothing. But the problem is, I mean, the words probably work for you right there. The problem is the video that they posted on X and Instagram shows all these models dressed in brightly colored pink outfits, looking like they're walking in an alien-like landscape. And it says, break molds. That's what the copy says. So immediately, people are comparing this to the Bud Light situation, that Jaguar's gone woke. And look, I sent this to Alex Rosenberger, my friend from, you know, MasterCars Inc., where I get my cars. He had not heard about it yet. And the company's being very quiet about any commenting in the aftermath. But this has kind of been something that's taken off just a little bit today. Okay, these companies do this?
Wait,
why?
What are they doing specifically? The new logo just...
So they're rebranding.
Yeah.
They're going through a rebrand because they're trying to promote all electric cars in the future.
I see.
But what they did was they put this video out, and it has a bunch of people wearing pink.
Oh,
you know,
male and female? What are the models? Do we know?
Yeah, that's a good
question. That's actually a good question.
This I feel
male
like is a
female.
Big key.
I was sent a picture, so I can send you the picture.
Okay.
Because I
saw a headline that said, Jaguar debuts its new branding in a video, and it's missing one thing.
A car.
So they're not even walking down the street.
See how it says copy nothing?
Gotcha.
So there's very... Well, look, you can't tell. That's a good question, Alex. Is it a man or a woman? I think on purpose it's very mysterious.
It's almost though they're trying to be too artsy. Like,
I agree.
Just like too much here.
Stop
it. You know, what point are you trying to make? You're going to be different, but people don't really care
about
that.
Here's the point that they're going to make. They're going to kill their freaking brand is what they're going to do. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So,
because it's
I'm not that happy about it.
I knew that's why you drove a Jag.
Because I wanted to be, I cannot believe that happened.
We can put you in this guy's outfit in the back. You could be him, right?
I'm gonna have to see this.
Yeah.
So Elon, here's the other thing about this, and this is why it's getting a lot of attention, is Elon weighed in on this today, and some others as well online. So when Elon points out what you pointed out, do you sell cars? That's what he said. And that had, you know, a million likes and people commenting, and it was viewed 3 million times. Let's see here. Seeing if there's any other information.
It almost
here.
Seems like that may make sense for like a Tesla commercial.
Yeah, I get what you're
saying.
Because
that's how they've kind of, they've been.
Because there's more non-binary Tesla owners? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes.
I'm trying to figure it out.
Yes, exactly.
Bev Turner, a British television host on the conservative-leaning GB News channel, this is on Forbes, said the ad looked like Jaguar asked artificial intelligence to create the wokest, most pretentious, gender-ambiguous piece of self-satisfied A-level art. I think that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good way to describe it. Some anti-woke social media users, according to Forbes, circulated a month-old video of a Jaguar brand director voicing a commitment to fostering a diverse, inclusive, and unifying culture. You would have thought that the marketing team at Jaguar would have, I have to say it that way just to kind of annoy Sue, would have kind of looked at the results of the American election and said, maybe we don't do this globally at this point. Maybe it's not a good idea.
Well, so. It does seem out of sync with their current brand. And when companies do this, they think, is this where you're trying to shift? Because I'm not sure I look at any of those people in that ad and say, yes, you would own this vehicle.
Yeah, right?
No, none of them would. That's what makes it so infuriating. And, you know, I love, Alex, you know, I love this car. I've never in my life bought the same vehicle twice, okay? I've been on the planet for 59 years. I bought the original F-Pace when it came out because I fell in love with it, and I didn't like the interior and the electronics, and they upgraded it in 2021, so I bought another one that I love, and now they do this to me, unfortunately.
Thank you, Sue, for recognizing that.
Does it feel like they almost stereotyped their own type of customer?
Yeah,
to me, it seems
does.
Like they did something really stupid that's going to alienate people.
Like, I would have never thought one way or the other, like, a Jag is more of a male car, female car. What, I would have never thought that, but now it's almost like they are saying they feel like they've been perceived as, like, a white male drives us, and, you know, we need all these other things to let other people know that if you're non-binary, whatever, that it's okay to drive this car.
It's beyond confusing. But let's look at the Bud Light example, because you had a young, you know, progressive marketing manager that decided to take that in a different direction, and it was rejected thoroughly. Mm-hmm. It could very well be something like this, and be very interesting to see what the board of Land Rover and Jaguar would do when this thing is blowing up the way it is on the internet right now. Now, I have a black Jaguar, and I believe that I have to paint it pink after this.
It would
have
been a lot cooler had the person, like, in pink come out, like, riding, like, a live Jaguar.
Ah!
Yeah.
And then they were like, unlike any other.
Yeah. Well, they failed. Massive
we'll
fail.
We'll have to put you in a pink outfit and record our own.
I'm going to drive the 4Runner a lot more, I'll tell you that much.
Get more at 971talk.com.